These associations with sexual impropriety and illegitimate meddling with the self continued into the mid-19th century. When starting with James Braid in the 1840s, many physicians attempted to separate hypnotism from the semi-occult mesmeristic past and to establish it as a serious science. Despite this move away from the more fanciful aspects of Mesmer's legacy, hypnotism continued to be linked with music. Musicians were believed to be especially open and vulnerable to the state. And in many cases of those in a nervous sleep displayed unexpected musical gifts were recorded. So you go into this state of altered consciousness, you get hypnotized, and all of a sudden you can play a piano. The demon can play the piano. You say this guy got flow, he's demon possessed. Some of these guys go to the studio with no prepared text. They just let it flow. He got flow. He just began to rap, give him the beats, and the lyrics come as he listens to the beats. Then they write the lyrics down later. That's a demon, and it's called channeling. He's channeling a demon. And the demon is inspiring him on the spot, and everybody's standing there and all talking about, oh, he's got flow. He ain't got flow. He got a lot of demons. One of them might be named Flow. Despite this move away from more fanciful aspects of Mesmer's legacy, hypnotism continued to be linked with music. Musicians were believed to be especially open and vulnerable to the state. In many cases of those in a nervous sleep, displayed unexpected musical gifts were recorded. More importantly, startling results were achieved using sound and music to hypnotize patients, which were generally explained in terms of the automatic responses that could be provoked, raising important questions about the power of music over listeners. These automatic responses to sound seemed to undermine the whole idea of personal autonomy and opened up the possibility of mental contagion through music at a time when it was widely felt that emerging mass society threatened both individuality and order. So they were saying, like, if a society came together and became unified and people began to get in one mindset, this musical mesmerization and joining people together was destroying individuality and order. If you look at society today, what you see is a massive herd of people who are losing individuality. They can't think for themselves. They follow the crowd because the music and the sex have knit them together in one mind. Remember, the Bible says they all had one mind, and they all worshiped the beast, and they all followed after the beast. The devil is using the music and the sex to knit the world together in this giant quilt of diversity. Different ethnic groups, different nations, different genders, and they're trying to tell you, be tolerant. Accept diversity. Everybody's all right. Don't listen to a guy like this Price guy. He's causing disunity. We're all one big happy family. It takes a village to raise a child, Hillary Clinton told you. Why your brain craves music. Another article here. I'll put this one on Facebook also. Why your brain craves music. I'll make it real fast here. Now remember that other article is 15 pages. I couldn't read all of it, but it gets better as you go along. I just wanted to touch on enough to make you see where I'm coming from. Why your brain craves music. If making music isn't the most ancient of human activities, it's got to be pretty close. Melody and rhythm can trigger feelings from sadness to serenity to joy to awe. They can bring memories from childhood vividly back to life. You look at this to an old song and see what happened to you. You can remember where you were, what you did, what you ate, and you can probably even conjure up the smells you smelled at the time that music was playing. The taste of a tiny cake may have inspired Marcel Proust to pen the 7-volume novel Remembrance of Things Past. But fire up the Rolling Stones Satisfaction and you'll throw the entire baby boom generation into a Woodstock-era reverie. From an evolutionary point of view, however, music doesn't seem to make sense. Unlike sex, of course, we're not coming from an evolutionary point of view. This is the writer. Unlike sex, say, or food, it did nothing to help our distant ancestors survive and reproduce. Yet music and its effects are in powerful evidence across virtually all cultures, so it must satisfy some sort of universal need, often in ways we can't begin to fathom. A few years ago, a single composition lifted Valerie Salempour almost instantaneously out of a deep funk. It was Brahms' Hungarian Dance No. 5, to be precise. And from that moment, she decided it would be her life's work to figure out music's mystery. It's working out pretty well so far in the latest issue of Science. Salempour, now a neuroscientist at McGill University in Montreal, reports along with several colleagues that music triggers activities in the nucleus accumbens, the same brain structure that releases the pleasure chemical dopamine during sex and eating, and on a darker note, drives addictive behavior as well. Animals get that same thrill from food and sex, but not, despite the occasional dancing cockatoo, from music. It doesn't affect animals, but it affects humans. Music can release dopamine and interact with you just like sex and food does. The reason why you like to eat is it releases dopamine and you enjoy it. You're addicted to it. That's why you can't stop eating. You got craving. And what you go through when you stop eating is withdrawal. You'll have withdrawal symptoms. That's why your knees are hurting and your head is aching. That's why you feel like, man, I need to eat something. You don't even have control of your own appetite when you can't put down a fork for 24 hours. You might as well be a smoker. You know, a lot of times when people stop smoking, they start eating. Why? The addictive demon changed resources. You won't give me the nicotine and the cigarettes. Well, bless God, give me a plate of fat. I'm going to addict you to something because it's an addictive spirit. That, it turns out, may be the key to music's power. In the experiments reported in Science, Salempour and her colleagues gauge subjects' response to music by exposing them not to songs they already knew, which might be too firmly linked to pleasurable memories of that first kiss or that road trip to Florida, but to songs that they have never heard but would probably like, based on their known preferences as filtered through a Pandora or IT unease-like prediction algorithm, whatever that is. That's some scientific jargon. So what they're saying is this, and to make it short, they can determine what music you will like based on what music you have liked, what has happened to your mind. Grooves have been cut out of your mind, and you have told your mind, this is what I like. And the dopamine released in your brain has said, this is what I like. This is why some people like certain types of music and other people don't like it. A lot of music was culturally programmed to you from your upbringing. Country and Western can be liked by black people from the inner city if their mom and daddy played country or Western all the time. It cut the grooves out of your mind. It's the dopamine centers. The dopamine has been now given over to demonic forces that are telling you, if you want to feel good, do this. They talk to your mind. So if I confront it right now, talking about hip-hop, I'm talking to a big, ugly, rusty, bumpy back Goliath of a devil sitting in you, looking like King Kong, telling you, turn that internet off. He's talking about Jay-Z. He said something about Beyonce. That's the queen, man. That's what we got you worshiping. That makes you feel good. I love that Sade and that smooth operator sounds. It cut out grooves in your mind. It appealed to something in you. See, a sexy, seductive singer will appeal to a guy because she's pretty, she's seductive, and she's moving and grooving. Why do they appeal to women? Because they want to be them. See what Sade is singing about? I want to do that. Anita Baker, caught up in a rapture with you. And you want to be that, and your thing hits you as a woman. Yeah, I got this young man. Mm-hmm. Caught up in a rapture with him. Yeah. You better stop talking about the rapture concerning some old lust-filled type music, because Jesus is coming back for a bride without a spot or a blemish. What's this power all about? We got to wrap it up. I'm going to move quickly here. It's all about witchcraft, good buddy. Galatians chapter 5. We're dealing with witchcraft and sorcery at its highest level when you deal with music, because it's interacting with you and triggering in your brain chemicals that are pleasurable and at the same time feeding into you mesmerizing forces that are spiritual that are captivating you and desiring to turn you out. Turn you inside out for the devil. Look at Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh in verse 20. One of them is idolatry. The next one is what? Witchcraft. That's a work of your flesh. The natural religion of fallen man is witchcraft. Mankind likes to control other folks, manipulate folks, get your own way with people, get folks to be looking at you and admiring you and checking you out. That's why you wear your clothes so tight. That's why you got your breast in everybody's face. It's pretty pitiful to go to a gathering somewhere and one lady walks in and says, you know, I just earned my doctorate. Another one comes in and says, you know, I just got my master's degree and I just got promoted to CEO. Oh, that's great. In the military, I was just promoted to major. These are all women, got all these accomplishments. I'm an RN and this made me a head of the ward, the neurosurgery ward. I'm a neuronatal nurse over there and I'm in charge over there now. You're looking at all these folk, you know, and you walk in. Well, one thing I got going for me is I got a big butt. You might be a doctor, you might be a lawyer, you might be a nurse, but one thing I know, good buddy, I've got a big butt. You said that's impossible, Kim Kardashian. Nicki Minaj. Telling the young girls in a stealth way through auto-suggestion, don't worry about the books. Don't worry about the education. Don't worry about intellectual acumen. Don't worry about your academics. Just get your butt bigger. Nothing matters but a big butt. The devil at his best. Witchcraft can make you into a fool when it takes a hold of you. And in the flesh, the natural work of the flesh is witchcraft. You'll have a natural inclination for it. 1 Samuel 15. Now here's the key to witchcraft revealed. 1 Samuel 15, look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Talking to boneheaded souls. Now, rebellion is as witchcraft, stubbornness is as idolatry. So what are the hip-hop guys feeding in to the masses? Rebellion. Rebellion against all authority. Wear your pants down to your knees. As a man, grow your hair long. Put on two earrings. Now the guys, now they have a blonde or red streak dyed in their hair. You know what that is? Homosexuality. Yeah. Hip-hop defines homosexuality on you. Hip-hop defines lesbianism on you. How does the devil do it? Load the artist with the demons, and through the music and the lyrics, he transfers the demons. I've talked about it before, the amazing transference of spirits. That tape is available at our website, www.omegaministry.org. The amazing transference of spirits. You put the spirit in the person and you expose other people to the spirit in the person. The Bible says it this way, evil communications will corrupt good manners. Interactions with others that have the demons will corrupt you. The world has been bewitched and mesmerized by music. Remember, the music is the carrier. You get a plane, you get a car, a bus, you get a train, anything of that nature is just a carrier. You're inside of the car, you're inside of the plane, you're inside of the train. The music is the transport mechanism for the spirit. A demon is housed in the music. He first of all uses the beats and the music to get you into an altered state of consciousness, to mesmerize you. He synchronizes the beat with your heart. See, a lot of this stuff is synchronized with the heartbeat and your impulses in your brain. The chemical imbalances come from dopamine. Now you're in this dizzy state, this euphoric state. When you're having sex, you go into an altered state of consciousness for a minute there, especially as you approach an orgasm. You lose consciousness with your surroundings because you have this dopamine rush. So music can put you into a high, get you so far out, you do things on the dance floor you never do any other time. You out there hunting like a Great Dane dog, backing it up, twirling around, twerking it, about to twerk it off. But you never do that in your right mind here at the corporation at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the water fountain. But Saturday night, 11:30 on the dance floor, with Beyonce pumping hard over the loudspeakers, you become a twerk dancing animal. The devil has mesmerized you, hypnotized you, and he's got a hold of you. The Bible says in Psalm 22:3, you know that scripture, that God inhabits the praises of his people. The praises of God, and God is enthroned on those praises. Music is an environmental area for demons if it's evil, is an environmental area for good and God if it's praise and worship. Praise and worship and thanksgiving and psalms and hymns is what brings the presence of God into the arena, because the environment of music is a spiritual environment, no matter what you say. You bring that hip-hop trash in the music, you bring that syncopated beat and all that loud abrasive yelling and all that stupid talking and all that rapping, and you have changed the environment and not made it conducive to God's spirit. And that ain't my opinion, that's a fact. Demons that came from these arenas, what do they do? And why do people get mad about this situation as I bring it up? They have done something to you that is almost impossible to believe. They have spellbound you. Now, let me harp on this for just a minute. When somebody is spellbound, a witchcraft worker or a sorcerer has captivated their minds. So when you say something to them, the demon that has governed their minds and stands as a safeguard over their minds stands up to defend the territory that he has spellbound. Somebody has cast a curse on them. Somebody has incanted them. See, an incantation has to be spoken. This is why he uses rap. He couches it in the music that appeals to the animalistic parts of man, what Mesmer calls animalistic magnetism. It appeals to the base elements of the flesh, and you feel that beat, and while you're caught up in the beat, he's able to incant you through the words of a sorcerer. This is how Jay-Z became a multi-millionaire. He has the ability to incant you with his words. There's nothing desirable about this guy, a crack-pushing guy from the streets of New York, but the devil in him. See, that has nothing to do with a human being. That's why when people say you're judging somebody, I tell them to get out of my face, because I don't judge anybody. I deal with demons that control folks. That demon in him is using the power of sorcery and witchcraft. You got two guys in the Bible that could do it. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 13. Study in your own time, I won't go there. Elimaeus the sorcerer and Simon the sorcerer. When the apostles took the gospel to the street, the first two people that they ran into were sorcerers, witchcraft workers, diviners of spirits, and spell casters. When you are spellbound, whatever demon has you spellbound, it will stand up to defend its territory. That's why when I mention two big boys, I get volatile reactions. The two you mention, the two you get the most comments about on Facebook is music and sex. Mention those two, and somebody's going to blow their lid. Why? Because they've been spellbound. Captivated to engage in oral sex, you mention it, the demon that rules their soul as far as oral sex is concerned, will stand up to defend that territory. You mentioned their particular brand of music they've been spellbound by, and the demon in them will stand up to defend that territory. Listen to me, young person. Listen to me, college student. Listen to me, you that are sitting there and angry and trying to debate and talking to everybody else in the room about you being right and this is wrong. You have been spellbound. I'm talking to that devil in you, and I'm commanding that devil to turn a loose of you so you can get back to your right mind again. Read Mark chapter 5. The Gadarene demoniac was driven out of his right mind when Jesus delivered him and drove off that demon. He was sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind again. You're arguing for your own bondage. You're arguing for your own prison cell. You're arguing to remain a slave to the devil. But the dopamine, you see, your activity, what you did released the dopamine. Did you not know that what binds you to somebody, if both of you are mutually engaged in oral sex, is the fact that you get pleasure from debasing and humiliating another human being? Your mind has been perverted so that the debasing of a human, the debasing of another human, gives you pleasure, and dopamine is released as somebody grovels between your legs like a dog to lap up the traces of urine and all kinds of filthy elements that come from the degrading and debased release of all the body waste in you from your sexual organs, and you got them eating it, and dopamine is released because now you get pleasure from it. That's a perverse spirit, it's a wrong spirit, it's an unclean spirit, and you need to be delivered from that spirit. The music is the same way. It causes arrested development. Why? Because they sing and rap these lyrics at a second or third grade level to make sure you become a little child, a little kid that worships them as your daddy or your mama. And you sit there with Beyonce as your mama and Jay-Z as your daddy, Nicki Minaj as your mama, Lil Wayne is your daddy, Drake is your daddy, Chris Brown is your daddy. All this stuff is done to you because you came from a dysfunctional home that had no real parental guidance. You had no father there to anchor you. Your mama didn't know anything. She was out there trying to find a man, hanging around at night trying to look for a man. You were home by yourself, home alone. And here you are, still searching as a little kid for identity, still searching for meaning. These spirits will even come into a nuclear family where father and mother is there in a Christian home and kidnap the child because they ingested the music and give them the identity of a vagabond, a nomad, a fatherless child and had a father. This is why the Bible talks about the prodigal son. His daddy raised him right, but the boy left and he spent all of his money on whores, and the Bible says riotous living. They can come and get you from a good home. So parents, stop blaming yourself and what have I done? Where did I go wrong? I don't know what I did to this child. Hey, that child wouldn't have liked Lil Wayne more than you. That child wouldn't have thought Jay-Z was what was happening and didn't want to listen to you. How many times did you tell them not to do it? Don't do it. Don't go there. Study your work. You need to get your schoolwork. You need to stop fooling around. You don't have a lot of time left. And they went right out there and did exactly the opposite of what you said. Trying to belong with peers and succumbing to peer pressure. It is what it is. Music and sex, spellbound society, arrested in their development. Music is a carrier for the demons. And the demons come in, anchor you at a six-year-old state. Now you're out here at a shape dance club, stripping down butt naked. A six-year-old girl in a 25-year-old body, built like Marilyn Monroe, beautiful. Looking like a China doll with a six-year-old mind. You talk to one of them, they're almost saying goo-goo and gaga, talking baby talk to you. Because they never grown up. They have suffered arrested development. Hip-hop is damnable. Hip-hop is filthy. Hip-hop is bathed in demons. You let that thing in, and when it comes in, it will defend its territory. It sees you as its house. It sees you as somebody to carry it where it wants to go. It sees you as a vehicle to express itself through. It sees you as somebody to have the nasty, illicit sex through. This is real. This is what we're up against. How do you deal with it? You deal with it like I'm about to deal with it right now. You don't believe what I'm saying? You don't believe it's true? You believe I'm a clown and just joking around? I tell you what you do. You stand where you are, you raise your hand. If I'm a clown, you stand where you are and you raise your hands, and we'll see if I'm a clown. Let's see. Let's stop talking. Let's stop debating. Let's stop theorizing about it. You stand where you are. If you listen to this recording later, stand where you are right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, if what I'm saying is true, and if what I'm saying is right, I'm asking you to demonstrate yourself right now in Jesus' name. Send your power through your word. And I cast these demons that have come in through this music. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I call upon the blood of the Lamb. And I forecast power against you. God, bring those things up from the root. No, you don't. Don't you grab a hold of nothing. I feel you trying to grab that person's inside, trying to hang on for dear life. I break that tie right there in Jesus' name. And I command you to come up and out of them in Jesus' name. God, make a difference between the clean and the unclean. Send your power. There's no distance in the spirit. There's no time and space over here. I curse these devils. I curse the forecast of the spellcaster, the diviner of the spirit. You who stood there in that studio and prayed over these records, that they go forth and bind these people to you. You that have these people spellbound to make money off of them. You that's divining these spirits and casting spells. You that's got these young girls turned into animals and whores and freaks. You that's turning these boys into homosexuals and people who are despondent and can't even think, walking around as nomads with their pants pulled down to their knees, unable to think, unable to talk, unable to actually do anything that's logical in life, failing in school, lost, wandering, nomads because of you. In the name of Jesus, I reverse you in Jesus' name. I reverse the curse in Jesus' name. Send it back to the sender a thousandfold. Right here on the eve of Halloween, Hallow's Eve, I curse you, devil, in Jesus' name. And I break your power.
In Jesus' name.
No longer dealing with you on the surface. We're not talking about anything. We shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. This is the spiritual war. Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. I curse you, demons. I curse your mission. I curse the words you use to get into these souls. I rebuke you and command you in Jesus' name to go. In the name of Jesus. Let these words reverberate through people's souls, God, all night. And drive the demons out for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Going to wrap it up for this week. Remember prayer in 3 minutes. 1-805-399-1000. 3 minutes. You got to get to the prayer line. Come on, if you've been set free of the devil, has been dispatched from your soul, get on the prayer line, man, and listen to some prayer. 1-805-399-1000. This is witchcraft. This is sorcery. This is spellbinding. This is casting spells to drive people out of their senses. It's time to stop this devil. 1-805-399-1000. Access code 409-367. Access code 409-367. Remember, if you want to contribute to Omega Ministries, www.omegaministries.org. www.omegaministries.org. If you're just contributing the first time, you have to go through the process of registering. Just go on there and register. Hit log in to go through the registration, and it'll send you an email verifying your registration. After that, go back in, hit support, and contribute to make contributions. If you want to mail in contributions, Post Office Box 960-146, Riverdale, Georgia, 30296. Post Office Box 960-146, Riverdale, Georgia, 30296. Remember the conference, January 3rd through 5th, Caminetas. Preparation for the Promised Land. We are dealing with setting souls free, preparing people to do the ministry and the works of the ministry. It ain't about following me. It ain't about personality. It ain't about opinions. You got to be equipped and ready to stand in your own lot and make war against the devil for you. Preparation to live in the Promised Land. See you back again here Sunday, 1:30 p.m., same live stream channel again. It's time to get real, time to stop fooling around, time to stop letting the devil walk up the front of you and down the back of you. It's time to stop this devil. 2 minutes, prayer will be initiating. Don't sit there and let the devil have you going off into the kitchen or going to look at TV or going around somewhere or talking on the phone. Get into prayer. Get free. Stay free. Be blessed. We're not here to hurt you. We're here to help you. Got to tell it hard. Got to tell it strong, because we're cutting through demonic forces that don't like it. So you got to talk to them loud and clear, sir. See you next time. Have a good week. Have a blessed tomorrow, and keep the family intact through prayer. Kiss the kids and stay together as a family unit, because that's most essential in these trying times. Be blessed. Good night. Praise the Lord.
All right, so we wanted to give some insight on arrested development there from that message. That's an hour and 28 minutes long, but that cuts out me saying things that I don't have to say because it was said on that message. So you see now what we're dealing with. It's a dirty, low down spectrum we deal with here with the devil. The devil's dirty. He's got just one character trait, and that is evil. He comes for three reasons: steal, kill, and destroy. So what's he after? He's creating a world in our minds that is not real, a virtual reality. He has thousands of ways to enter into the mind to make it believe something that's not real. I always refer to the movie The Matrix, how in The Matrix, they set up a virtual world, the computers did, to actually use human beings as battery sources. Do you remember the computers were being powered by the human beings in The Matrix? And they hooked the humans up to the terminals and put the humans in this sleep state, and they would just stay in this place of a dreamlike state. And then the computers accessed the mind and made the human believe they were living, when in fact the human was there in suspended animation, just laying in this test tube while the computers used the human body as a battery source. And that's most descriptive of the devil in our time. He's using the human to live through and keeping the human dormant and arrested. So you come to the human and you say, listen, we're going to marshal a war and call up an army for God. And the human mind is arrested. So you can mechanically come sit right here. You can eat. You can work a job. You can drive your car home. But that demon, if it has you in that state, can switch off things for God at his discretion. He can switch off anything to do for God. But you can do anything outside of a thing that necessitates the production and promotion of the gospel. He'll switch off the switches necessary not to let the gospel go forth, and everything else will be left on. So he'll make you believe you're saved. And you hear people saying, I'm doing all I can. I'm doing my best. I'm serving the Lord. Not knowing you're following the dictates of these spirits who allow or disallow things based on how much damage this will do to Satan's kingdom. They'll let you do religious church stuff as long as it's not detrimental to Satan's kingdom. This is a very stealth, underhanded way of doing business now. They can make you believe that you're doing something that you're not doing. And you find the downgrading steps into reprobation in Romans chapter 1. The first thing that happened to get an inroad into the human personality in Romans chapter 1, I won't read it, but Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16 to the end of that chapter, which I believe is verse 32. The first thing you'll see is they became vain in their imaginations. Then you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and it talks about verse 16 and 17, the vanity of your mind. See, he's talking about a renewal that must take place in the mind, in the spirit of your mind in Ephesians chapter 4. There's some essence left over that can shut down productivity in God's kingdom. Leave you kind of dormant, tired, lethargic, slow. But you'll be quick about gossiping about people, talking about junk that doesn't matter, hanging around church with the world all in you, thinking you're spiritual and you're just as lost as a ball in high weeds. Because you got an appetite and an excitement, a dopamine rush from junk from the world, but you can't do anything for God. How do you know you're like that? Very simple. There'll be no reproductive cycle in you. You'll see nobody saved out of you. That's the giveaway. When you can't reach anybody for the Lord, when there's nobody born again because you've been born again, what are you? Every seed, every organic life type reproduces after its own kind. So if I can't replicate, duplicate, and reproduce God, I must not be carrying God. I'm something else. I'm something foreign still. I can't reach a person in a cold state. What do I mean by that? A person you've never met before. A person you've never laid eyes on before. A person that you can reach in a cold state. That your life in you is able to stimulate something in them that they had never seen before, never heard before, never felt this before, what's emanating out of you. You're not the same kind of a life type. There's something about you that's not like me, that's actually accosting my insides. It's calling my spirit man. It's something that's coming out of you that's stimulating a search for life in me. Everybody down here is lost. They're looking for something. They just don't know what it is. They're looking for Jesus Christ in life. They don't know it though. So if you've been born again for real, that life of God in you will reproduce after its own kind. This is why we don't spend a whole bunch of time trying to do church stuff and build ministry. We were around back in the day when Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin were looking for black folks to build ministry off of so they could take the money from them. See, these guys went searching amongst black folks for talented, anointed, gifted black guys that would be good resources to siphon money out of the black community. You know, you see where you buy your hair from. You don't buy your hair from other black folk. You buy your hair from the Korean community. The local stores in the hood are from the Middle East. They got Middle Easterners running those. You go to the hotel, it's going to be the Patels running the hotel. You see, everybody finds a way to use folk. Everything in the world is based on extortion, usury, with interest, and trying to take from folks to get to garner stuff into my coffers and keep me wealthy and keep me satisfied. So, Hagin found Fred Price, Copeland found Creflo Dollar. Not knowing the game, You go out there and think you're a man of God, and the devil sets you up based on his parameters. Fred Price was used until he found out Kenneth Hagin said, you can't be marrying little white girls now, you Negroes. Now, we use you Negroes and take your money from you, but don't be trying to marry our white daughters. And that's what made them fall out. I'm not telling tales out of school. This happened. As long as the money was right, I take your money from you, but don't marry my white daughter. That's a Ponzi scheme and game all day long. What's happening? These guys walk around in a virtual reality. They don't deal with reality. See, everybody under the sway of this spirit, this virtual Satan's virtual world and religion, what I'm saying right now is almost unbelievable, ununderstandable. It's a mist that rests on them. I think Barbara talked about a mist laying over you. She said she used something like a film over the top of you, you know, as you walk in this spirit. And it rests over you, and you really can't do anything for God. You're just around. You don't matter. If you died, you wouldn't be missed by God at all because you were insignificant, because you had no empowerment to do the job. That's pitiful. That's what Satan's virtual reality will do to you. It'll make you a religious person, just living out a religious life, having no benefit to God, and having no threat against the devil. Think about it. God can't use you. The devil can pimp you, but he really don't care about you because you're not a threat to him. So you're just around seeing 30 come, 40 come, 60 come, 80 come, and you die, and you just were insignificant. You could have never been born, and it wouldn't matter. That's pitiful. To go through a life and not to matter one day of your life is pitiful. But you can be born, live, and die in the devil's virtual reality and never achieve what God has for us. So how do you get out of virtual reality? It's very simple. You die out. The only person that escapes virtual reality is the person that is dead. He that is dead is freed from sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:7. If you're dead, you're free from sin and the controls of it. So how do I die? You go through the regimentation and the processes of death, what I call the mechanics. You deny what feeds that virtual world. See, the virtual reality is a world that's feeding that Adamic nature that should be dead anyway. The devil is using artificial stimuli in his virtual world to make you alive to him. See, he's making you believe this is significant. I watch it all the time with people. People that put energy into stuff that doesn't matter. They come and try to have conversations with you about stuff that's totally insignificant. And you tell them, nobody talks about that garbage here. It's a lot of people that came through and left here because they couldn't plug in to anybody wanting to talk to them about the garbage they're interested in. All you're interested in is being full of the Holy Ghost and doing the job yourself. What do I care about what Leroy is doing down the street? That has no bearing on me whatsoever. If you can't process that, you'll never be able to understand what you're called to and what God calls you for. He called you to make you a vessel fit for him to use for himself at the expense of everything else. So therefore, anything that's not going to enhance your growth in God and your productivity in God, you basically say, get that away from me. People ask me questions all the time like that. And then they can't understand the response because they don't understand that it's insignificant anything further in the conversation. Anything more than what we just talked about has no bearing on anything. I had a young guy ask me the other day about the Trinity. He said, I don't understand the Trinity. And I'm trying to get input to understand because it seems like the Bible says that Jesus and God are the same person. I said, let's approach this logically. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father submits himself to the Father's will. He says, not my will, Father, let your will be done. It's impossible to have the same person submitting themselves to another person's will and it be the same person. It's impossible. If God who he's praying to, the Father has a will and Jesus has a will. There must be two wills. If they were the same person, he wouldn't have to pray the prayer. It makes no sense. That's logical. That's balanced. That makes perfect sense. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God said to Jesus, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. He's not sitting next to himself. Then he came back and said, well, you know, there are certain scriptures that said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Yeah, that's what his name is called. He says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. He came as the ambassador of the Father. So therefore, he is named under the Father's authority. It makes perfect sense. There's no problem there. You know, he's not the Father. I just showed you from the interaction in Gethsemane that you can't have two wills in one person. That's totally illogical. Well, you know, also, Pastor, I said, look, man, answer your question. Best I can do. I don't have time to keep going back and forth about this. Then you start off with, well, you don't know everything. And, you know, I'm a man just like you. Now you got girl coming in. So when you start getting personal, that's where the girl shows up. Now you need deliverance from that homosexuality. You got to begin to deal with people like this. Cut to the chase, man. I'm not emotional. I feel nothing about you. I'm angry. I'm not angry. You ask me a question in a logical, I believe, thoughtful format. I answered your question. But I'm not going to talk to you like a little spanked girl. I'm going to talk to you like a man. I expect you to respond and talk back to me like a man. If you cannot or you do not, then you got another problem. We're going to have a meeting in the mountains here to pull guys out of virtual reality. This is not about motivation and discussion. This is informational. You better step up, man up, and be responsible for your family and your lot before God and begin to go out and do the work of the ministry in these last days. If you want to be a leader, become a person that's a servant and take on the responsibility of doing what you're supposed to do. If you bring sissy gibberish, you'll be cut down and cut off real fast. Because we don't have time to go back and forth your silly debates. We're through with all the little penny ante girly talk. That's in Satan's virtual world. You see, it's all make-believe. If you harp on that stuff, you're not for real anyway. So why burn the fuel on somebody that does not want the truth? Cut it and move on. If they sit in here and don't want it, cut them here and move on. They're trapped in that same stupid mess in the world with the same stupid gossip, same stupid mess talking about folks, same harping on somebody's problems. Cut them. You get full of the Holy Ghost yourself and duplicate and replicate after your own kind so you can make any end at the end. That captain is standing on the deck of the Titanic. He's got a bullhorn to his mouth and he's yelling one thing through it. Every man for himself. And that's not selfishness. What it is every man has chosen to fill with the Holy Ghost and represent God personally. I'm absolutely selfless at that point. Because now I'm before God getting full of the Holy Ghost to do the work of God. That's what it's all about now. I'm telling you. That's the message of the hour. The devil has a projection of a world in front of you on a TV screen, on a movie screen, and you're in it, living it, and it's not even real. It's a virtual reality. He accesses the mind, takes over parameters in the mind, and has you talking about junk that's not even germane to the gospel, has nothing to do with the gospel whatsoever. Why burn the fuel? Why waste the time? If somebody is stupid enough to stay over there with that, leave them. Leave them there. Because they're doing what? Wandering in the wilderness of their own mind. The worst form of that is the religious form. When you got a religious spirit thinking that God cares about the junk he cares nothing about, and you're making up stuff in your mind that matters, and God doesn't even know what you're talking about. And you got all this junk in your mind that's just virtual, that you made up in your own mind, listening to folks, reading books, looking at tapes. And now the devil got you walking around in a hood, a long dress, ashy legs, looking like one of the walking dead, thinking you're holy. Because you took in all this stupid doctrine that was actually encanted upon you and spoken over you, changing you into this weirdo that's a religious nutcase. And all God is saying, come out of all that junk, die to the whole arena, and let me resurrect in you to make you normal again. That's why you got to go through the process of dying to the flesh, the world, and the devil, and letting God resurrect himself in you. It's a virtual reality. It's Satan's virtual reality. That music is the pit of hell. That music has these kids so dumb that all they can do is walk around like zombies with a cell phone. Watch everybody walking around with a cell phone all the time that's looking crazy. Just texting all day. There's something wrong with you. You take the phone away and they go into withdrawal about the phone. Who would care that much about a silly phone? Think about what I'm saying. It's like you having a phone on your mama's wall when you were growing up, and you take the phone off the wall and carry it around with you. That's like a little kid walking around with a teddy bear or something. What's wrong with you? And they get irate. They steal phones from people. They're irate about having a phone. Don't even have any money to pay for a phone and got a phone. Go to Walmart and get a track phone, any kind of phone. Why? Are you a businessman? Are you expecting calls? Are you a lawyer or something and it's a case being adjudicated that you have to stay in touch with? Is there some kind of a stock market split going on that you got to stay in touch with your stock market representative? You got big plans and it's some kind of a big business deal going down you got to stay plugged in about? Why do you need a phone? It's crazy. That's why. That's the virtual reality. Plugged into a computer and a phone all day until the mind is just in this virtual world, this cyberspace world. And watch out, people can't even save another person, lead them to Christ, because they have no ability to actually talk to a person one-on-one. I guarantee you most people can't talk to another person one-on-one. Can't even carry out a conversation with them logically. Not get off into religious gobbledygook. I'm talking about talking to a person right where they are. You don't start throwing up all this junk you know about the Bible on people. You can't even talk to a person normally anymore, because you just got a bunch of religious virtual junk in you that you don't even live yourself and try to tell it to somebody. You don't even live what you're telling that person yourself. But you got all this stuff you heard from tapes and books and messages, and you just throwing it up on everybody, knowing they don't know anything about that. You see how crazy it is? That's the virtual world, when you got a form of godliness with no real power that comes from me being changed into a vessel that God can flow through. Why is the Bible given? Why is the gospel really given? To change me into a vessel, not to know stuff. The worst thing you can become is a person that knows things without the transformation taking place. I just know junk and I'm throwing it up. Blech! All over everybody every time they ask me something. Good night. You a homosexual. You're gay. You're sissy. You're sodomite. Man, you still the sodomite. That's the problem. That's why you're throwing up on everybody, because you haven't been changed into it yourself. So now you got to put forth all this physical energy and selfish energy to try to make somebody see what and be all caught up in you because of what you know. And you're walking around thinking you got it. And just as lost as you can be. You can deceive yourself all the way through this. How do you know a person is not able to really represent Christ? It's very simple. Just check the seat next to them And where is the person that you saved sitting next to you? Where? Show them to me. If you can sit and point to the person that I reached, they were born again, and I've been discipling them in my house and been leading them through the stages of salvation, spending time with them, going out to dinner, go bowling, hanging around with them, doing a few things, getting them to relax, you know, don't get all caught up in religion. And, you know, we're just going to fellowship. Ain't no big thing. Until they grow up to a status, and they'll basically be weaned from you like a child is weaned from somebody's breast and go on. Then you got other folks you're working with the same way. And they'll always come with you because you were the one that led them to Christ. They're going to trust you. That's normal. Till they're weaned from you. You don't try to hold on to them because the message itself will teach them that, hey, I'm going through a process. Their minds will begin to transform and they'll get set free. Then you're on to evangelize somebody else. But they'll be around now, people that you led to Christ. If you don't have those people in your lineage, you better go back to the drawing board and find out what you are and what you're imagining yourself to be that you're not, because every seed produces after its own kind. We're not looking to grow a ministry based on you bringing a bunch of folks. We're looking for you to get out of here and go do the job and let the babes come in and replace you in the seat. I mean, they're the ones that need the food. Folks that have been around a while and been eating a long time, you should be in the streets doing the job. You might come through, swing through here or there, to fuel up here or there, but it ain't that big of a deal. To be ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, indicates what according to the Bible? You're a silly woman. Or a silly person. You just, he just used woman there. But the Bible actually says you're actually a midget. You are arrested in your development. All you can do is sit, stymie, just listening. That's the best you can do. If you think that's salvation, buddy, you better go back to God fast and say, Lord, I need some help. Get this hypnotic spell off of me, this thing that's got me just mesmerized and sitting somewhere just lost, imagining myself to be saved in Satan's virtual world. We put it out there 5 years ago about something like Dunamis Tabernacle. Look how the people just sit there. They'll be on live stream right now. It'll be 1,000 people sitting by tomorrow. They just sit. Just, there's something wrong with you. It's something wrong with you. It's something got a hold of you. So I don't have to support you. Well, go and find something that you can support and do that. Don't waste your time here. It's impossible to be just arrested, just listening to messages all day. Just going from message to message, from message to message, from message to message. It's something wrong with you. And never can become a Philip, become a Stephen, become a Paul, become a Peter, become a Dorcas, become a Ananias. Don't become Ananias, because you'll be dead. Become a Priscilla or Aquila. Somebody that can actually go and do it themselves, because the life of God has taken a hold of you. As I study this thing and look at it, the devil's got the world trapped in this virtual world, just moving through it, imagining things about salvation, imagining I'm saved, pretending I'm deep, pretending I'm anointed, pretending I've got it, but you don't. And there's no fruit, no evidence of anything. But I'm always telling somebody what they're not. Well, what are you? Is there any evidence? John the Baptist says, bring forth evidence that you repented. Where's the evidence of repentance? There should be organic reproduction in a person delivered from virtual reality. Outside of that, it's just make-believe. I'm pretending. Hypocriting around, pretending I'm deep in the Lord and saved. Satan's virtual world is real. When you got that thing in you, and you got the heat of the gospel pumped into you, and you got the illumination that's burned into your soul, you know what you become? You become the woman at the well. She loved Jesus. You know what she told the folk? Man, come and see a man that told me everything I've ever done. And she didn't come back alone now. It was something burning in that woman where they said, what?